I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. President Obama's historic trip to Cuba is all about change. And how's this for change? The U.S. National Anthem, playing today at an official ceremony in Havana in honor of the president's visit. It's not too far-fetched to say that many older Cubans probably thought they'd never live to hear that. Maybe some younger Cubans thought that, too. But when it comes to the complicated relationship between the U.S. and Cuba, different generations tend to see things very differently. Not just here in the U.S., but also in Cuba. Jorge Duany directs the Cuba Research Institute at Florida International University. He sees a split in Cuba between an older generation rooted in the revolution and still holding on to power, and younger Cubans who just want a better life.
For the younger generation, people in their 20s and 30s, they never experienced, you know, life before the revolution. All they have experienced has been this period of very difficult economic challenges. Many of them had not been able to find jobs in an economy that now relies primarily on tourism and remittances. In fact, we see a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s just looking for a chance to leave the island, to migrate, because that's where they see that they can chase their dreams.
I know you left Cuba as a child. Have you been able to travel back over the years?
Yes, I've been traveling to Cuba since 1981, first as a graduate student, then as a professor, and oftentimes just to visit family that remained behind.
What are the most noticeable changes you've seen over those decades of travel to Cuba?
Well, this last trip, I saw some things that changed and some things that remain pretty much the same. The changes that I saw have to do with the economy and especially with the growth of the private sector in Cuba. This is called the non-state sector or self-employment. So, for instance, in construction, all of a sudden I see people throughout Havana neighborhoods rebuilding and painting and remodeling, things that were very difficult to find building materials, for even 4 years ago. A lot of people were converting their houses to guest houses or to private restaurants, which again is another major change that I noticed. The transportation, I think, is a little better. For instance, I was able to travel widely around the city using the most popular system, which is called boteros, and these are private taxi cabs that use the old vintage American cars, and they will, you know, pack five or six people and on a fixed route will take you close to where you're going. And that's the most economical way to move and also the most convenient one, because otherwise you'd have to take a public bus and be, you know, an overcrowded and very hot environment and that kind of thing.
Professor Duany, what would you most like to see change there?
What I would like to see in the future on a personal level is the opening up of family relations, something that has affected my own family for as long as I can remember. And I think, you know, this kind of healing process between those who stayed behind and those who left, some of whom perhaps are impossible to reconcile. I mean, there are, of course, political differences, but also the fact that people like myself were forced to leave at a very young age, and so we keep going back trying to find our roots and our past in a country that's no longer ours. But I think it would be wonderful for both sides to be able to slowly and gradually reconcile with each other, accepting the differences and respecting each other's points of view.
Jorge Duany is from Cuba. He directs the Cuban Research Institute at Florida International University. Thanks, Professor Duany.
You're welcome.
There's a generational divide among Cuban Americans in Miami, too. Older Cuban exiles are typically opposed to any opening to Cuba's communist regime, while younger Cuban Americans tend to be more open to a new relationship with Havana. But there are voices in South Florida that defy those neat stereotypes. Take former Radio Martí commentator Uve de Aragon. Like Duany, she was born in Cuba before the revolution and moved to the U.S. as a teenager in 1959. You'd think she'd be dead set against President Obama's visit, but she's actually happy Obama is there right now.
The mere image of this young Afro-American president with a aging Raúl Castro is a message of hope for the Cuban people. I'm pretty sure the president will say something about human rights or will meet with some dissidents, but I think there's a message that's even more important for him to give to the Cuban people, which is that it's up to them to bring the changes about in Cuba. And that what they have to do is to understand that the state should work for them and not they working for the state.
She sees hope in Obama's visit to Havana. Contrast that with Ariana Mendez, a young Republican in South Florida. Her family had close ties to the pre-revolution Batista government and was blacklisted in Cuba until they were able to leave in the 1980s. Mendez was born in the U.S., but still carries the family's disdain for the Castro regime. And she's definitely not happy about Obama's visit.
It's disappointing. It really is. To a certain extent, I feel betrayed. I see this reapproachment as a reward to the Castro regime. We are a country that claims to support human rights and democracy around the world, and here we are. We're going to extend a hand, extend an olive branch to a regime that has made no attempts whatsoever to change their ways. They continue to be as adamant, as communist, as tyrannical as they were in 1959. So for me, it's unmerited. We have a situation where Cuba has made no promise of changes, and President Obama is rewarding that continued bad behavior with such a visit of such a caliber. It's very disappointing.
There have been some changes over the years. You know, it's small, but there is a sector of people renting their apartments out, having restaurants. There's steps that have been taken. People can travel more easily to visit relatives in Cuba. Aren't those some steps toward positive change?
I see those as purely cosmetic. With the death of Chavez in Venezuela, and as Venezuela provided oil subsidies to Cuba and was a great economic benefactor to the communist regime on the island, after Chavez passed away and those resources were no longer readily available, Cuba felt in need of desperation. They needed to stimulate the economy some way, somehow. It's not because they believe these changes are good. It's not because they want Cubans to be able to open their small businesses. It's because of necessity, of desperation. And instead of lessening restrictions and having this reapproachment, this would have been the ideal time to really force the issue and have them concede ground on human rights, on economic reforms, and have something meaningful in exchange for all these travel restrictions and lessening of regulations between the U.S. and Cuba.
What about the argument that President Obama and others have put forward that for 50 years, there's been no progress either, and that a way to bring about change is actual engagement and a constructive dialogue between Washington and Havana?
But here's the thing. Engagement means that you have two parties coming to the table. In this case, I think it's just the United States extending the olive branch. Cuba is not promising anything in return for this olive branch. It has not said that they will make reforms. After the reapproachment was announced, Raul Castro went on Cuban television and said that Cuba will continue to be a socialist state, that there was no turning back, that there was no change to that. So the recalcitrant attitude, the abuse of human rights, the oppression of dissidents, the imprisoning of political protesters, that has continued and has actually increased after the reapproachment was announced. So this is something that really there's no evidence to suggest that the Cuban government is ready for any significant change.
What do you think is the right approach for the U.S. government in terms of how it deals with Cuba?
Dialogue is important. I understand that. But I think you need to come with the table with the understanding that something needs to be done, that there needs to be serious concessions from the Castro regime. Because to me, it seems that the current setup treats Cuba like an equal partner in these talks, and it's not. It's a tyrannical communist regime who abuses its own people, who murders its own people. It's not someone that comes to the table on equal footing with a country like the United States that promotes freedom and democracy around the world.
Ariana Mendez is Cuban-American. Her grandfather worked for the Batista government, and her family was blacklisted in Cuba until they were able to emigrate in the 1980s. Thanks, Ariana.
Thank you.